contract approval to be located on certain parcel of land, like being tagged for 100, Sussex County, being 203 acres, more or less. The properties are located on both sides of the Door Road, northeast of the railroad tracks, southwest of Patriots Way, and on both sides of Governor Stokely Road. 911 address is not available, basically because they're acreage parcels. Tax map ID is District 133, map 3, parcel 4, and 133, map 7, parcel 1, 4, 11, and 12.10. These are all other parts of those parcels. For the benefit of the record, the commission was provided with a map highlighted to show the parcels intended to be used for the application of biosolids. We did receive comment from the Department of Agriculture. Basically, the traffic impact study was not recommended. The level of service of Stokely Road from US 113 to Door Road, Route 48, will remain at level of service A. Or exist at level of service A, excuse me. The second road is also being Governor Stokely Road. From Door Road to Cedar Lane, being Road 318, will be a level of service A. The Door Road, Bethesda Road, Road 326, and Marsh Mill Road, Road 297, will remain at level of service A. I don't anticipate any issues with these road segments because it's an agriculture activity. In reference to the Sussex Conservation District, we received a memorandum on November 10, 2015. The agency provided aerial photographs, some index information out of the soils report. We are advised that there are 7 different soil types on these parcels, that the applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices if there is to be any construction and to maintain vegetation, that there are no storm flood hazard areas or tax ditches affected, no off-premise drainage improvements will be required, and it's not likely that any on-site drainage improvements would be required. And gentlemen, that's all I have much of.
All right, sir. Is there anyone here representing this application?
Thank you. My name is John Uzipis, and I'm an employee of Centigro Central LLC. Also present with me are a couple colleagues, Avery Dunn and Lauren Miller, and representing the landowner, Baxter Farms, Mr. Jim and Jay Baxter are also present. Centigro has applied for the conditional use to allow for the land application of biosolids as a farm fertilizer and soil conditioner on parcels owned and farmed by Baxter Farms. If approved, the application would be subject to a permit by DNRC. The conditional use permit application is adjacent to other parcels owned and farmed by Baxter Farms that have received a CUP for the land application of biosolids. The parcels contained in the application is needed to allow for nutrient management on the same farm, reposition land application from a parcel that has been encroached upon by development, and to fit the application to the current farm field configurations. Centigro and Baxter Farms have been applying biosolids for over 20 years on the adjoining CUP-approved parcel. If the board is interested, I can provide information on what biosolids are and on health and safety of the biosolids use.
Okay, let's see if anyone has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Johnson.
Well, I, for one, am very interested about the biosolids and the safety of them, and as well as the makeup and what impact it may have on neighboring wells and etc. So I would like that educational piece of information to aid me in any decision I might make the recommendation.
Okay. Biosolids are regulated. The rules designed for the treatment of biosolids, which have been promulgated by the federal government, the EPA, and also by the state agency, DNRC, or DENREC. The EPA regulations are based on over a decade of risk assessment. It is an ongoing process. The regulations and requirements have also been reviewed by universities across the country, the Environmental Protection Agency, and the National Academy of Sciences. So I will do my best to answer any questions on the health or these studies, but please understand I'm a little limited compared to those folks on the depth and breadth of the research that has been conducted. To quote from Dr. Gerba, a microbiologist, world-renowned microbiologist out of the University of Arizona, the risk to health and safety to the public is no greater than that from playing in a sandbox at a public park. Okay. Do you have any specific questions? We've been applying this. We apply material from the Georgetown wastewater treatment plant.
That's the next question.
Okay.
Exactly. What is it? Where do you get it? How are you going to put it down?
Okay.
25 words or less.
We'll get it from Georgetown. It's a Class B product treated to meet pathogen, vector attraction, and the metals levels required. We would haul it in tanker trucks. We apply it in a liquid form. We inject it into the ground.
So it's not sprayed in the air?
Correct.
It's dissolved and injected, so it's all enclosed, so it goes into the ground that way. It's not sprayed in the air?
Correct.
Okay. Can I answer that?
It's the same.
Can I answer that question? Is it basically the same process that Baxter Farms have used with Centigrow for the last 10 or 15 plus years?
Yes. Correct.
There you go.
Okay. So we've had multiple applications.
I'd say this is not the first time we've seen this. I mean, I just want to make sure it's the same thing. You can save us a lot of time that way.
I understand, and you're welcome, and I don't mean to encroach on your
right to ask as many questions and keep us here as long as you want, sir. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
And if I may add, I'll start.
You gotta say who you are.
That's right. I'm going to start with. My name is James H. Baxter IV. I reside at 24933 Governor Stokely Road, which is the road that is included in the boundary of these biosolids. Yeah. And I would like to add that part of this property was originally permitted by the town of Georgetown for the application of biosolids. They accidentally let their permit lapse. So now it's in Centigrow's hands because they're more professional, not saying that the town of Georgetown is unprofessional, but Centigrow does this for a living. And that now it's in their hands that this will be done in a very professional manner. And I've been around this equipment and have been around this process since I was my children's age. And well, you can look at him and tell there's not a whole lot wrong with the stuff that's going in the ground. Or the stuff that we're eating, or the groundwater that we're drinking.
The thing is how you're living there. Yeah, I get it.
So after this has been applied to the land, does it result in any restrictions on the future use of the land? Or what types of crops might be grown on it?
No, there's no restrictions. There are setback distances within DENREC regulations that we have to abide by. That would govern, you know, exactly where we can put the material on these parcels. There are some waiting periods for growing certain crops from application of Class B.
So once it's been applied to land, years down the road, I know the Baxters don't like to sell you land. I understand that. But if someone came along and wanted to plant sweet corn for human consumption, is that permitted?
Yes.
Okay.
If I may interject, we do grow vegetable crops. We grow, at this point in time, we're scheduling ourselves to grow sweet corn, planned about 200 acres worth of sweet corn to go in, and also about 100 acres at least of lima beans to go in 2016. We are limited by the canneries, the buyer of these vegetables, as to what was on that property prior to us planting that crop. And that is why, along with encroachment of some developments, that is also why we have removed some of our property, some of our owned land, from the application of biosolids, because we are now integrating certain parcels of our land to be able to grow vegetable crops, to be able to diversify our operation. And so now, with growing the permit area, we are going to designate those places as non-vegetable crop growing areas, because we would have to wait at least 3 years per the buyer of the vegetable in order to grow the crop there. Does that answer that question a little bit?
So you're saying that after a period of approximately 3 years, it could be utilized?
Correct.
For that?
Correct.
And it's based on the buyer of the products, that it's their decision that they're saying you cannot use it.
I cannot go on the record to say that's the only reason, but I know that is their requirement for us. I don't know if there's certain requirements from the state of Delaware or not, but I know the buyer is my main concern. If you know, I can't grow a crop if they're not going to buy it from me, and that is their requirements. Food safety has become a huge issue in the agricultural community, and that's my biggest concern at this point in time is being able to abide by the rules.
So it's your contention that there shouldn't be any impact on any of the neighboring property owners' wells or through the application of your biosolids?
That is correct. Material would be applied at agronomic rates established by a nutrient management plan, and those plans are designed to apply the amount of nutrients needed to grow the crops so that you're not putting excess nutrients down available to leach into the groundwater or impact someone's well.
And I'd also like to add that my well is a neighboring well, and my children and I drink out of that well.
You don't have bottled water brought in?
No, sir, I do not.
I have no further questions, Jim, at this point.
All right, then. Mr. Burton, you don't worry about, I see the yellow line on your map, and you don't worry about it running off into your current crop that's being cropped right next to it.
Okay, so I'm sorry, we should have had one of those fancy TV screen things like the last group did, because that was pretty cool. So the smaller parcel to the, can I use your map and just kind of point it out to all of you? Am I taking your thunder here?
Quite all right.
All right, so this parcel right here.
You can't be the same either way.
Yeah, this parcel right here is a parcel that was part of the town of Georgetown's permit. This parcel right here is already permitted by Senegro, and we've already been applying. So with us being able to add this piece, we're now able to apply nutrients across the whole piece of property in the direction in which I farm, instead of having to turn equipment around in the middle of the field. So that's one piece. The second piece right here is another piece that was under permit by the town of Georgetown and was lapsed. Yep. Okay. This parcel right here is a new piece.
You might want to turn around and show some folks in the
okay.
place. It might be interesting.
All right. So, wasn't sure if I was allowed to talk to them yet or not.
You're not talking to them.
All right.
Yet.
So, you're just
pointing.
This is the piece that was lapsed by the town of Georgetown. Here is Zor Road. So, it would be the piece that is to the east of Zor Road. Half of that property had a sludge applied to it, a biosolids applied to it, years passed, and the permit lapsed. The other piece directly across the road of Zor Road, so it's contiguous to Zor Road and the railroad tracks, that also was part of the town of Georgetown's permit that lapsed. The only new piece we are after is the piece which is, those of you that are my neighbors, is directly behind my house. There is a piece of woods that separates where our application is from the houses. And I must say, and I'll kind of throw you under the bus here, the other piece that is along Zor Road and along Governor Stokely Road at that intersection is not going to have sludge applied to it. That is part of my vegetable area in which I grow vegetables. Those of you that know, I had lima beans there this year. So that's a mistake. We'll have to either change the lines of that, or we'll put it in the conditional use on your all's behalf, or I'll just have to give you my word that we're not going to put sludge there.
Is that the 13-acre parcel you're referencing?
Yes, that is correct. Absolutely not.
Thank you. I have no further questions.
Okay, Mr. Smith? Just one, is there a special makeup of the soils on these different distinct parcels, or is it just that they are parcels that are sited? Are these good sites on the map, or is there a characteristic like a Woodstown, sandy loam, or Pocomoke soil, or something like that that makes them desirable?
The soils that are present are adequate for farming and for the application of nutrients, including biosolids. Part of our application to DENRAC will include the full soil series review, specifically for its ability to accept biosolids on land application. We are in process of completing that review as requested by DENRAC for the permit application submittal.
Would you guess the seasonal high water table would be 4 feet or less?
I would guess, yes, but it's strictly a guess. To answer the question a little bit more vague, the soil types that we're looking to apply to are non-aqueous soils. Some of you understand what that term means. That is not allowed. We're not allowed to apply to soils such as, not limited to, but such as Pocomoke series. And there's none of them that I know of in this area.
I don't believe so.
I added that there's none recorded in the soil type stated by the conservation. No Pocomoke series.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Ross?
Oh, sorry.
Mr. Baxter, would you like to make a statement?
Before you go to sleep, Bob.
All right.
No, we've done a tremendous job ourselves in applying this waste, whatever you want to call it. I think the first year we tried it with Georgetown, they put it wherever they could. We simply don't have a contract. We couldn't stop them. But they did the next year. And now we have, I counted up while back there, we've got about 8 or 9 wells drilled in our farm. I guess that there's a sample of the water taken probably every 3 months, right?
Every quarter.
Quarter. Okay, that's 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You guys in college, you know what I mean? You understand what I'm talking about. I didn't know it was a quarter, see, I knew it. Anyway, they taught us we had to cover that surface of the, as after it's been applied on top. Impossible to do this afternoon after you put it on there this morning or this afternoon. You couldn't disc it because of the mud, that's what it was. The next morning, I was out there, 6 o'clock, maybe a little early, disc it because the water disappeared. This is what we've tried to do in doing this job here. Now this group has come in and they're the ones that apply the systems, and I think we do have some control if we want. In other words, another thing, Georgetown put in, and they just couldn't move it, so they just let the irrigation system sit there for a day and sprayed. Well, they ruined 5-6 acres of ground.
No, well, hang on. We can't talk right now. You're being incorrect, please. No, on the record, you're being incorrect.
Well, records in my head are not correct. Anyway, we have tried our best to apply it as we should. And all the guys talked about, people there in Dover, EPA tries to control everything there is. And for another 4 years, they have control of the whole of the United States. But that's beside the point. We try ourselves because I want him to be running that farm completely. And I think he has some, probably, he's got three boys, and he thinks all three of them are going to be a farmer. Well, I don't buy that. They're going to forget to do something else. And so I want to know that, you know, we're 1.5% of the United States. We are agriculture, and we want to keep it. We want to keep the ground so that we can produce on it. We want to keep the ground in shapes so that you can eat off it. And these things are good. So I suppose that they could bring back and say, well, that corn that you grow goes to the poultry, and they eat the corn, and you're creating a problem. I don't doubt it for a bit that if somebody's going to come up with that idea. But we're, so that's the reason we're trying to do our best to work with the thing now so we don't have people riding by, oh boy, that stinks. And it's in the ground 8 inches most time, right?
6 to 8, yeah.
Yeah, 6 to 8. And so it's just about foolproof. And then we know these wells, we can find if there's a leak. But we had never been called on the fact that any of them tried. And so we've been fortunate, and we'll keep it that way.
Thank you, sir. All right, where are we? Are you, Mr. Boss, are you good to go?
I'm pretty good. I farmed all my life. I have a pretty good understanding
what they're doing. I think you know what
they're doing. I think it's not enough big plants, big landfills, so I'm good with it.
There you go. Okay.
No questions, thank you.
Mr. Lang?
One question. How often are you going to be applying annually? Just once?
Not even that, if I understand correctly.
The whole property, the whole area would not be applied every year.
You're going to stagger the injections?
Correct.
Thank you.
Anyone here that has an interest in your application? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2035, Center Grove Central LLC? Yes, sir. Hold up.
Good evening. My name is Brian Churchill, and I'm an environmental scientist for the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control. I write the permits for land application of biosolids in the state, and I just want to let everybody know that, you know, if you have any questions of me, I'm happy to answer them, or if the council has questions later on, I'd be happy to answer their questions as well. Just to add a little bit more information to what was already presented, the land that would be approved would have a network of groundwater monitoring wells to monitor any impacts that may happen to groundwater. We don't anticipate there to be any impacts, but they're there as a safeguard. The biosolids are required to be routinely sampled and tested for various parameters as required in state and federal regulations. Synagro has had a successful compliance record in the 8 years I've been in the program. The only time I recall complaints was about 5 years ago, and some biosolids were surface applied. And I don't remember the exact reason, but it was not incorporated into the soil by that evening. So I had a few phone calls, and the material, after I talked to the folks at Synagro, was incorporated the next day. The material does not have a strong odor. It's very minimal. You typically only notice it if you're in the land application area. Next to the actual equipment that's applying it, they now inject the material. They haven't surface applied it in several years. But when I was out there a few months ago, the only time I actually noticed an odor when I was near the land application vehicle. I could go on a lot more detail on a lot of subjects.
You guys in the back, pipe down a little bit. If I can hear you, you're too loud.
And we will have a public information meeting on the proposed land application sites, on the new land application sites. That'll be legal noticed in the News Journal and the Delaware State News and on Denrec's website. And also, if there's any properties that are contiguous to the proposed land application sites, I will send them letters notifying them of when the public information meeting would occur. Any questions?
Okay, well, thank you very much for, appreciate you coming, for being here this evening. Does anyone have any questions before we release this gentleman?
I assume your email address would be typical for state of Delaware. That'd be brian.churchill@state.de.us.
Yes, sir. It's brian.churchill@state.de.us.
Thank you. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate your comments.
Thank you.
Okay, anyone else like to speak in favor? Okay, is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2035? Anyone on the commission have any questions? Okay, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Thank you. All right, I'm going to call subdivision 2015-6, Branson S. Smith. Is there anyone here representing this application?
Yes.
I'm Bob Sigler, land surveyor with Miller Lewis Surveying in Seaford. And this is Mr. Branson Smith, also of Seaford. Do you each have a copy of the plat? Very good. As you're possibly aware, it's about 700 feet from Middleford intersection on Middleford Road headed towards Seaford. In January of 1988, Mr. Smith bought three tax parcels. 331-6, 120 and 121 front on Middleford Road, and then behind that, much wider than they, he bought parcel 117 that runs all the way back to Newton Branch. Over the ensuing time, you have approved for him to lot out six parcels, and he has recently sold the back portion of 31 acres. That brings him down to his original house parcel, parcel 121, of a little over an acre and a half, and he wishes to divide it into two slightly larger than three-quarter acre lots. On October the 7th, DelDOT directed to Mr. Rank their letter of no objection to recordation for the project. And under the DelDOT note one, it says that it is to be conveyed to a family member, and the family member would be Mr. Smith. And if you care to tell him what you intend with it.
Well, I intend to put a house on for one of my young sons.
Mr. Smith, would you please say your name for the record?
My name is Branson S. Smith, and I live at 10469 Anna Patrick Lane, Seaford, Delaware, 19973. Oh, I want to divide that acre and a half lot into a three-quarter acre lot and build a house for my youngest son. I'm a Korean War veteran, and I want to do something for my children before I leave. I'm 86 years old, and I want to be able to leave them some legacy. And I just want to build them a little house on there if it's possible.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Smith, and notations that a shed is to be moved. Are there any other encroachments of buildings too substantial to move that might need a variance from Board of Adjustment?
No.
No. So by virtue of taking this plat here at face value, if you move that shed, leave the other sheds and drawing everything and be to county specs?
Yes. None of them is over 600 square feet, even though they are. Oh.
But I was just curious about now establishing new setbacks on the new lot. I mean, I guess.
30, 15, and 20?
This says yes.
For under 600 square feet, you only have to be 5 for side yard.
5?
5, that's the side yard.
Okay. Yeah, just one bit.
And this is a corner.
Yeah. Okay. Would this be sharing in a road maintenance agreement with the other lots that have been created along Anna Patrick Lane?
Yes, Del Dot note number 6. So this would be the 9th one.
But there's a road maintenance agreement or something?
Exactly.
Yeah, and you want a waiver from the street design, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
I believe Ms. Janelle read that in the record. Do you see the addition of creation of a new lot here having any adverse impact on neighboring properties in any way?
I certainly do not.
Do you see it having any impact on traffic?
One residence, so I guess the average daily traffic would be, trying to go back several years, but it's something like 6 trips in and out.
So it'd be safe to say it wouldn't have an impact on traffic, neighboring properties, schools, anything like that?
No, sir.
And that you would be complying with the, since this is a, albeit a small, it's the subject of a subdivision, with the conditions of 99-9C.
Unfamiliar right off the top of my head. What would that be?
That's sections of the subdivision code.
Oh, okay.
And any entrances would comply with Del Dot's requirements, correct?
Yes.
Thank you. That's all.
Mr. Rollins.
I'm good. Thank you.
Johnson.
About the only question I can think of to ask that Mr. Smith didn't ask is what's the difference in the road design requirements? Is that right being asked to waive?
This is a gravel driveway, and as Lawrence was saying earlier, the approved width would be 18 for tar and chip and 20 for, is that right? Or 20 and 22. For McAdam, and this is just a 12-foot wide gravel driveway, very few people on it, and nobody seems to get stuck.
Gravel, are you talking about crushing run, or are you talking about dirt?
It's gravel. It's gravel, of the crush and run type.
Mike, is that typical of what we would do with this many lots?
Well, what we're proposing now is a waiver in the construction requirements and the design standards. And we're proposing it's basically a dirt road with gravel. And it doesn't appear to be crusher run. Crusher run would be more gray textures.
That's correct.
I don't believe it is. I think it's more dirt and gravel mixed than over years.
I know that's been my concern in traveling throughout the county, seeing roads like that perhaps are like of this design that wind up being a bunch of potholes and a muddy lane rather than something that's easily traversed by residents.
It would have to be maintained by the highway set up to make to mm-hmm. it if you allow for it to not have to pay that rate and have to maintain. Yeah. All parties having access to it have to participate.
Corwell?
No questions, thank you.
Mr. Lang, anything further?
No questions.
Okay, Counselor?
No questions, thanks.
All right then, gentlemen, we thank you. If you'll take a seat here, Bob, we'll see if there's anybody here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2015-6, Branson S. Smith? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2015-6? Anyone on the commission have any questions? No further questions, we'll close the public hearing. Will the vice remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Thank you. All right, gentlemen, moving on to other business. We have four items of other business. The first one being Marsh Farm Estates 2008-9, partial deletion of sidewalks.
Thank you. This is a request to eliminate sidewalks on a portion of the north side of Bay Winds Drive from Camp Arrowhead Road to Ringtail Drive around the open space on Head Sail Drive and on the west side of Skysail Drive and around the open space on Skysail Drive. Sidewalks are provided on both sides of the rest of the streets within the subdivision. The Planning Commission required sidewalks to be constructed on both sides of all streets within the subdivision, Condition K of approval. The Planning Commission granted preliminary approval on December 10, 2009. The subdivision shall be recorded before December 31st of this year. The subdivision shall expire. Thank you.
Okay. Well, Mr. Johnson, you're
okay with that. It definitely is. And I must admit that this is one of the first ones that I don't have a problem with removing the sidewalks as presented on this final site plan that I'm looking at, provided that it's the highlighted pieces that are what are being proposed to be eliminated.
Yes, the items that are highlighted in yellow are the areas that there are no sidewalks on that portion of the streets.
And they're not fronting on any properties either. So, surprise, surprise.
Okay, well, it's up to you.
Thank you, Mr. Ford, for being with us all evening, like you have, but at least part of the evening. But Mr. Chairman, concerning Marsh Farms Estates number 2008-9, my motion is for approval of the partial deletion of sidewalks as presented to the commission.
Second. Moved and seconded to grant the partial deletion of sidewalks for Marsh Farm Estates 2008-9 as shown on the exhibit. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Mr. Ford, I hope you're not being paid by the word. Because if you are,
have a good evening.
You're in trouble.
Thank you.
But you never know. You know, if you don't show up, that'll be the time we have a question. All right then, our next item is Lands of Gallo Jr. off the Greenhurst Farm Road, a minor subdivision off of private road.
This is a minor subdivision to create one parcel with a residual off an existing private road. There's an existing driveway that will be used as the private road. Several cul-de-sacs should be created at every 1,000 feet as the road exceeds the maximum length of the dead-end street. If the Planning Commission has concerns with the length of the dead-end street, a variance could be applied for from the Board of Adjustment. The property is zoned AR1 Agricultural Residential District. The tax parcel is District 430, Map 2, Parcel 1. Staff is awaiting approval from DLDOT and the Office of the State Fire Marshal due to the cul-de-sacs in the street. Thank you.
Do we have to make a decision on this prior to it coming from the Office of the State Fire Marshal? Because they're the ones with the cul-de-sac.
It would be.
This would be like a conceptual approval, and they'd have to go through all that before they can get it recorded and approved through.
So if you approve it, if you wish to approve it, you would approve it as a concept.
Yeah. And then what happens is the office sends out a letter saying they've got sort of the conceptual approval, they'd have to come back with all those details addressed.
Yeah. They'll be back. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm okay with the concept. I don't think we'll waiver.
That's basically the decision tonight, just the concept, just the concept.
Concerning the lands of Gallo Jr. off Greenhurst Farm Road, my motion is for approval as a concept.
Second. Moved and seconded to approve as a concept if minor subdivision off a private road for the lands of Gallo Jr. off Greenhurst Farm Road. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
carried. Our next item is Lands of Cucinata off County Seat Highway, minor subdivision off the private road.
This is another minor subdivision to create one parcel with a residual off an existing private road. The new lot will be 3 acres, and the residual will be 2 acres in size. The residual will also have frontage along Route 9. The property is zoned AR1, Agricultural Residential District. The tax parcel is District 232, Map 7, Parcel 2702, and staff is awaiting approval from DLDOT.
So this could be approved as a preliminary and a final?
Final subject to DLDOT if you so choose.
Yeah, yes. So that's what I would like to choose. So, Mr. Chairman, my motion regarding this request for the Lands of Cucinata is for approval as preliminary and a final, with final subject to staff receiving DLDOT's approval to create these two lots off a 50-foot right-of-way.
So moved and seconded to grant preliminary approval with final approval to provide the staff subject to receipt of all of the permits for a minor subdivision off of the private road for the Lands of Cucinata off County Seat Highway. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Our next item is the Vineyards at Nassau Valley revised master site plan.
This is a revision to the existing master plan for the Vineyards at Nassau Valley Development. The Planning Commission granted preliminary approval to the site plan on March 19, 2008. The original development was a mixed-use development with 350,000 square foot of retail, 75,000 square foot of office, a 150-room hotel, and 927 residential units. The Planning Commission approved preliminary approval to Phase 1 on July 17, 2014. Sorry, that's Phase 1A. Phase 1A included 4 residential buildings with 24 units each for a total of 96 units. There are 2 mixed-use buildings that were part of Phase 1 that had been constructed, and the 2 residential buildings with 24 units each from Phase 1A, which are currently under construction. The proposed master plan would eliminate the commercial, office, and hotel uses and leave the 927 residential uses. The plan proposes 248 apartment units, 280 condominium units, 40 units per building, 156 condominium units, 30 units per building, 86 single-family lots, and 70 big house units. Staff notes that the 83 single-family lots would require a major subdivision process. However, there is an option that they could go through the condo phase, which would just be permitted as a site plan. Each phase shall require a separate site plan and shall be reviewed by the Planning Commission. And an amenities use plan shall also require a separate site plan. The plan proposes sidewalks and streetlights along the interior streets throughout the development. The property is zoned C1, general commercial district, and the use of the residential is a permitted use within the zoning district. An agency approval shall be required prior to each phase in site plan approval. Thank you.
Boy, it just seems like there's a slight little change here, gentlemen.
Now, but keep in mind that because it's a permitted use, there's not a public hearing for any of this.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, if we need to revisit this whole plan.
Well, you can. You can revisit it as a site plan, but it's commercial, it's C1. Right. So that's permitted use at the 12 units an acre, which means it's just like, you know, you're reviewing on the Wild Farm site plan, you know, as far as the process. So. You know, there's not a public hearing, but that's not to say that you don't need to take some time to look at the site plan if you have issues about it. But it's not a public hearing. So it's not like we can send it back to anything because there's not anything to send it back to.
Well, you know, it's like anything else. We approve something, and then what we wind up with is significantly different than what we originally went through that whole process and whole deliberation to do that. And if I'm hearing that's not something that is appropriate to go back to a public hearing. I will tell you, I need time to digest this. What original was, and what is, and what could be.
I just have a question for Mr. Hank, or the chairman, or whoever remembers. I was here at the time when we did the approval on this 7 or 8 years ago. Did that include a change in zone? Was this?
No, it's already. It was, I don't remember the exact number, but it was early 70s that would rezone 80 some acres to C1 general commercial.
Because I saw it at C1.
We looked at this site numerous times.
Yeah, all sorts of different things.
We did all sorts of ideas.
It's been every.
The first idea was the vineyard activities, which was a real vineyard. And then it was a application for what was a bar pit, which was actually called swale, but it was designed to be a swale, and ended up to be a bar pit. Now it's proposed to be a pond that's depicted on the site plan. We also looked at it for a site plan for Walmart, probably
20 years ago.
I was here. And then we had the many vineyard applications that we've seen with every, so one of them showed almost every tenant for each unit within all commercial active. And then we started to see the mixed-use building with the stores below and the apartment or condo, which we already have two of them are built actually in use. So this is just ongoing saga of the vineyard.
It's partly what led to the CR1 zoning district being created, so that there would be a public hearing if it was converted to residential use. So it closed all the existing C1, you can't get that anymore, you just need CR1.
Well, I know that with Bayside Americana, we were getting so many different changes and stuff that we basically did an on-site workshop almost, where we visited the site to see what was and what is and what could be. This looks like it's an even bigger evolution than what we saw with Bayside.
Oh, in the Bayside application, they were taking sections and converting them based on the residential use so that the market was dictating at that time.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And you guys sent and did the tour and got a better understanding of that project.
Exactly. And Bayside was an AR converted over.
Yeah, it was. It was converted over to RPC.
Well, this was owned back in 1970, and basically these were permitted uses. They would just come in with different site plans each time until they. I guess eventually they'll build something there.
One question I have for Ms. Cornwell that it may mitigate some of your concerns potentially. They're eliminating commercial space, right?
They're eliminating the commercial, the office, and the hotel. The number of units has never changed. It's
right.
Always been 127.
And the thing, the concern when this came through before, we took some time and looked at the code to see if you got your 927 units, that counted against the square footage of commercial space that you could get. In other words, you can't have both, you get one or the other. Code's silent on that. So it turns out you can get 927 units plus whatever the square footage of commercial. So what I'm hearing is you're still getting 927, but actually the site plan is potentially less intensive if they're eliminating some commercial.
Potentially, yes.
Yeah.
So is the statement that they're eliminating commercial, does that make it done, the commercial's now eliminated?
No, it sounds like they're still.
No, they can come back land.
Yeah, they can change the plan. Yeah. And I don't know that they've eliminated all of it either.
I think the only existing at the moment proposed is what is currently built.
Okay.
There's no new commercial proposed. Everything else is going over to some type of residential.
So that eliminates that concern about having the sort of the double use. You get the maximum residential and the maximum commercial, now you're just getting one of those uses. So actually it's a mitigation of the concerns that were expressed back in 2007 or whenever it came through the first one.
Today,
yeah. And that's a code issue, I mean, as far as, you know.
So the one thing that Janelle mentioned was that here is their intent to subdivide as a subdivision, which would require public hearing to subdivide.
Yeah.
Or is it their intent to create condo type sales, single family residential detached?
Or
which they could do. Or under the same process.
Yeah, now that's true public hearing wise. If there is a subdivision, that triggers a public hearing.
Right.
My understanding is they're still figuring that out and weighing their options about whether to do the condos or the fee simple, and the applicant is aware that the fee simple does require a public hearing. And I believe there is somebody in the audience that could answer questions if there are any.
The proposed collector road that's shown on this plan, it shows no development on it. Does that stay in effect?
Not if they come back with an amended site plan that you consider.
Part of that though is going to be.
That's a part of something.
Yeah. You know, I don't know, I don't have it for me, but if the collector wrote something that Deldot's required, that's
at one time.
Yeah, I know, one time.
That was
what we were talking about in one of the hearings, yeah.
I don't know if that's in play now. Is the land so dedicated?
I don't know.
Well, I was thinking I did that site plan. You're talking about the collector road that was originally intended to go from Route 1 on the other side of the bridge across towards the Jimtown area that would go further south to Trackport. That might be out of play, but I'm not sure. It may have been. I don't think it was dedicated, actually dedicated. But there is somebody here to answer that question. Go ahead.
Well, if that's someone would like to appear before us, we'll find out.
You realize it was Mr. Kraft. I think I would have made that thing.
Appreciate the warm words. For the record,
well, you didn't say knowledgeable person. You just said there was a person here.
For the record, Zach Crouch, Davis Bowling, Fredell, 23 North Walnut Street, Milford, Delaware. To answer the first question, in reference to the connection road, as of right now, Delta has no plans for that. That was when the application came in 2008, there was talks about a connection road between 1 and Route 9, but that no longer exists. I mean, there are some plans up by 5 Points, but there again, that's up to that side, and as far as a connection road between the two, it doesn't exist as of today.
Does this plan have to go back for Delta?
No, it's actually... We're talking about traffic tonight. I mean, it's cutting traffic in half because we're eliminating 350,000 square feet of commercial, 75,000 square feet of retail. The hotel, the 150-room hotel, and in the Civic, the 35,000 square foot Civic / amenity. The residential are staying the same, 927 exactly what was on the previous plan, but all the commercial, except for the existing commercial out there, and there's a small piece of a retail that they're keeping up on the right-hand corner. It just says future retail, but as you can see, it's been significantly reduced, and the traffic numbers have cut right in half based on the reduction.
But the plan, this plan does not need to go through Delta, even though
we're actually going to go back through Delta, most definitely, because we're going to some of the off-site improvements that are required at this time, are based off of trips and a reduction in trips. I mean, we're hopefully to get some of those improvements reduced.
We would ask Delta for a letter of no contention or letter of no objection or any clarification that the collector rate is not necessary.
Yes, I mean, we are going back through for the master plan just because of the decrease in the amount of trips based on eliminating the commercial. And as expressed, I mean, you know, this will be done in phases, and of course it'll come back through. I mean, this is just the master plan. I mean, every single phase will come back through the detail that you all see when we do present preliminary approvals. We'll come back through preliminary approvals.
So when you come back, you show where the amenities are that I don't see?
Yeah, I mean, there's a clubhouse. Actually, it was in the first phase that's already been approved. It's just not noted just because it was in the first phase, and these are phase 2, 3, 4, and 5.
The most recent review of the commission, I believe, was for building and C and D were the two buildings west and east of the two existing buildings, and then E was the clubhouse and amenity package near the pond.
Yes. And they're the ones, if you look at the actual map, I mean, the areas that are not colored are what was previously approved and also in the process of being built.
So the existing lake had become a pond about 3 times in size. We've taken out the amphitheater and all that.
Yeah, well, actually, yeah, that pond's actually going to be on one side of it's going to be a level shelf, which is going to be used for walking trails and benches, but it's actually part of the, there again was part of the phase one approval that I think the commission just saw not too long ago, a couple months ago, if I'm not mistaken. But Mr. Johnson, I mean, you know, the concept here was to kind of, there again, there is a different layout, there is different products. The unit numbers have not changed, but, you know, when we submit for preliminary for these specific phases, I mean, of course, that would be more detail to show, you know, the sidewalks, the, you know, you see the park and you see how they're going to lay out, but, you know, of course, it'd be more depth and scale as we do with all of our master plans.
So, Mr. Robertson, is this more of a courtesy presentation, or is this something that we can have any say on at all?
It's a concept at this point.
Okay.
Yeah, they're going to come back through on each one.
It's not a master plan as would be described in the residential plan community.
It's not.
All the time, it's called a master plan, I believe, but it's.
It is called a master plan.
Consider it in concept only and not for reporting.
Well, the whole entrance is in too, which is pretty important. And there again, that's how come, Mr. Don, that's how come also submitted the, you know, the original plan, just for, you know, there again, the goal here was to show what the difference was. One was the reduction in the commercial, but, you know, it's two, just keeping the same residential. But there again, I mean, after everybody's concern of traffic, I mean, that's a big reduction on that part.
So do you have any room for any competing brew pubs?
That was pretty intense tonight, but
yeah. Oh, man.
All right, what do you want me to do? What am I supposed to do?
No action. You need to approve it as a concept.
Okay.
If that's what you're going to do.
Mr. Chairman, concerning the vineyards at Nassau Valley revised master plan, my motion for approval is a concept.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the vineyards at Nassau Valley revised master plan as a concept. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Here.
Thank you.
Okay. The chair motion carried 4-1. Okay. Interesting. let's go ahead and refer back to our public hearing. We'll save our additional business items for